Because our approach to writing books is that buying a book is only the first sale you're going to make to that person. So what we want to do is we want to design the flow of the book so that book readers become booked clients. They say, this stuff is so good, I have to get more from the author. I want them to actually help me with this process.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. My name's Rick Nusky. I'm the luckiest man in the world. I'm the host of the show, and I get to speak with incredible entrepreneurs. Today's call is no different. I'm on the line with Joshua Lysak. How are you, Joshua?
I'm pretty dandy. Glad to be here, Rick.
Pretty dandy. I love that. You know, like, so it's really good to be alive, really good to be on the line with you. And we're going to be talking about Joshua's experience as a certified professional ghostwriting company. We're going to be talking about his experiences with things like TEDx speaking and things like that. But first of all, let's jump into a little bit about yourself, Joshua.
Yes, yes. So I am the president of the Entrepreneurs Wordsmith LLC. I've, since 2011, have ghostwritten 40 plus books by this point. Mm-hmm. I'm actually a two-time published novelist myself. So I fulfilled my own literary dreams a few years back, and I've taken that expertise, combined it with my experience running a marketing agency, and I now help anyone from business owners to executives to coaches and consultants to inventors, philanthropists, politicians even, serial entrepreneurs, helping them write, publish, and launch their books so that they can establish their personal brand, multiply their organization's revenue, and fling open new doors of opportunity.
I want to deep dive into the importance of all those elements, but if we could, where are you located at the moment?
Yes, I am located in good old Dayton, Ohio.
Wonderful.
Dayton is between Cincinnati and Columbus, two little bit more well-known cities here in the Midwest.
Fantastic. Do you like getting away from the work that you do occasionally? And what do you do when you do that?
From time to time, yes, yes. I'm very fond of warm, sunny beaches. my wife actually is the opposite. She likes cold and cloudy. So we sometimes we'll either go to, let's say, a nice sunny coastal area, or we'll find ourselves going up to Canada, to Toronto specifically. You know, there's some eerie islands up there where we can get a little bit of both. You know, the cold and chilly water with the sun. I think I'd have to say Toronto is probably our favorite place.
Tell us a little bit about your journey towards becoming a ghostwriter. How does that happen?
It happens by accident. So as I mentioned in the outset, I'm a two-time published novelist myself. Mm-hmm. I think something like 9 in 10 people want to write a book someday. And that's like a lifelong dream, a bucket list goal, whatever you want to call it, for most people. Yet before I could legally drink here in the U.S., I had a contract and a book deal and got my first two books published by a house out of Washington, D.C. And what was interesting about that process is as I went about promoting my novels, this is when I was in college, by the way. So I was going about promoting my novels, getting the word out. And what was interesting is that I was growing my freelance writing business, my marketing agency business on the side. Mm-hmm. And I found the two worlds converge. My freelance writing, copywriting clients, marketing strategy clients would tell me things like, hey, I checked out those books that you wrote. You know, I really liked the way that they just kept me turning the page. I've always wanted to write a book of my own, not a novel, not fiction. But I wanted to share my story in this industry and share my experiences. But I don't want it to be a textbook. I want it to read like it's a novel. I want people turning the page. Can you help me with that?
Yeah.
And for a couple of years, Rick, I said, no thanks. You know, I write my own stuff. This is just the way that I do it. It was one of those situations where you don't know what you don't know, right? I was missing out when I decided, you know what, I'm actually going to help these clients because we're getting great results with our direct response sales letters, with our product launch funnels, had multiple six-figure launches with a few different clients. And I found that, you know what, it's just, it's time to go to that next level and help them with one of their great lifelong aspirations, which was writing their book. And since I said yes, that was going on about 8 years now, I have never turned back. And so 40 plus books later, here I am, a certified professional ghostwriter.
Yeah, that's just an amazing story. I love the journey, you know, because I think that's what My Future Business audience loves about the show, is that there's always going to be some rich stories behind that journey. And now you've gone on to be a TEDx speaker. You're a leading authority in author voice, authenticity. As you said, you're a novelist. I'd love to just jump into the TEDx speaking, because I'm always very excited to speak with TEDx speakers. How does that happen for you?
Yes. Well, as you just mentioned, I do have, if I may say so myself, an inspirational story to people who may not see a clear path to entrepreneurial success, but they want to find a way anyway. And yes, there's plenty of zigs and zags on the path. So I had several clients actually tell me, you need to turn your story into a TED Talk, a TEDx Talk. And interestingly enough, Rick, I had a dream about a year into my business that I would one day become a TEDx speaker.
Oh, really?
And it was about 5 years later, I was there on the TEDx stage. The first step actually was kind of coming up, okay, what's my 90-second pitch or commercial for my talk? What's it really about? And for anyone who is an aspiring TEDx speaker, you're going to love what comes next here. And that is, when you're coming up with an idea for your TEDx talk, mm-hmm. your great pitch, I'm gonna get on stage with this one title for my talk, this one pitch for my talk. It's not necessarily that you have to be the expert at your on your topic. It's that you have to have lived experience around your topic. Experience is in the TEDx world the same as expertise. Something else that's very interesting is that they want, the TEDx committees, that the powers that be at TED and the TEDx world, is they want to host speakers who can present statistics demonstrating urgency. So can you answer the question, why do people need to know this right now? And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of speakers that, yes, they can have something interesting to present, but is there a compelling reason to present this information on stage right now?
Yeah.
And no, there wasn't, for a lot of people. So what I was able to do is I could say I'm not the world's leading entrepreneurial expert, but I am the world's leading expert on my own story, my own experiences. My very first freelance writing project I got, Rick, 8 years ago, paid $1.67 an hour. That's many times below the minimum wage. That's where I started. And now I've actually gotten a multiple six-figure business of six-figure, high five-figure ghostwriting projects, mm-hmm. which are the dream for many freelance writers who are getting, $500 to write an ebook here and there, that sort of a thing. So I could tell that story, right? That's my lived experience.
Yep.
And then where is the urgency? Why do people need to know this right now? Well, I look at the statistics about my generation, I think it's like the 23 to 39 year olds, or 23 to 38 year olds, the millennial generation, as we say. What are we experiencing that makes my talk about solopreneurship, entrepreneurship, starting your own business relevant? So I presented some pretty scary trends and facts about the need for entrepreneurship in my generation. One of those statistics what actually affected me personally. I was the class of 2012 when I graduated college, and I found a statistic that I presented in my pitch. It was from Yahoo MSN, the source. The statistic is this. The class of 2012, 1 year after graduation, 80% of the class of 2012 are earning less than $10 an hour in their jobs. So that four-year degree, a year later, for 80% of us, gives us barely above minimum wage. Not even minimum wage in a few, depending on what state you're in, mm-hmm. in the U.S. And let me tell you, Rick, I literally saw a few jaws drop when I presented that statistic to the TEDx selection.
I can imagine.
And like, oh, wow. So it's not just you sharing your story, wanting a platform to promote yourself. It's you, you know, pointing the way to other disaffected millennials, underemployed people, well, anyone really who's underemployed in today's economy and looking for a new way to, as I say, create their dream job from scratch. That's the title of my my TEDx talk. Mm-hmm. And so it was an inspirational experience for everyone, including myself. It was a lot of fun. So to kind of put a bow on it, the two tips I would give for any aspiring TEDx speakers, number one, focus on your lived experience. What are you the number one expert in? It's you and your story. And number two, present some urgency. What are the statistics, the trends that you can show that make your personal experience useful to a lot of other people right now, as opposed to yesterday or tomorrow?
Yeah, thank you so much. What is the learning process that you go through, and who were the people that you looked to for mentorship as you were growing your skill set?
Yes, yes. So there is a fantastic book called How to Fail at Almost Everything and Still Win Big by the Dilbert creator and cartoonist Scott Adams, who's also a trained hypnotist and persuasion expert. And he weaves a little bit of everything into that book. Mm-hmm. And one of the great takeaways of that book is that the people who rise to the very top of any industry are those with the unique skill stack or talent stack, he calls them. For example, in his case, he says, you know, I'm nowhere near from the best artist. I'm not the smartest business person in the room. I'm not the best deal maker. I'm not the most persuasive person. But as Scott Adams says in the book, I know about persuasion. I can draw okay. I know about business. I have experience and an MBA. And he puts all those together, and he has a powerful talent stack to become a top cartoonist on the planet. You know, one of the top tier of his industry. And so in my own world, I've combined, you know, talents or skills, you might call them, things like direct response copywriting, successful product and service launch experiences, coming from the corporate world of project management, standard operating procedures, and knowing how to deliver on a big promise to a client. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, have my own experience having written novels, gotten the book deal, working with clients, writing their books, you know, over 40 I've worked with so far. And then one of the great upsides of being a ghostwriter is, as part of every project, Rick, I have to become almost an expert in every industry that my clients are in. And so every time I have a new project, I pretty much can say, I wrote the book on this industry. So then I become an even greater asset to future clients at industry, where other ghostwriters who've never touched things like, let's say, aerospace engineering or 20th century American history or telescope software, you know, all these, you know, these crazy different industries that my clients are in, let's say, I essentially become an expert alongside the author. And so that sort of development of the talent stack of mine, it is unique. And that's one of the things my clients appreciate about me, because I can present what really no other ghostwriter can. Same with, you know, Scott Adams, except that's in his industry. He can offer what no one else can.
I think there's two stacks going on here. There's that knowledge stack, but there's also that experience stack, isn't there?
That's right. That's right. And every project, the experience I have builds on the next one. Though I will say, you talked about like the experience, and then there's the formal training. I've referenced the Certified Professional Ghostwriter Certificate, you know, that certification a few times before. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I wanted to add that to my talent stack, or my skill stack, you might say, is the fact that who was teaching it. So it's the only university level, it's a master's degree level of program through California State University, Long Beach. It's the only academically sponsored training program for ghostwriters in the world. And as far as I know right now, there are fewer than 50 CPGs, Certified Professional Ghostwriters, in the world right now. So while there's, you know, thousands of freelance ghostwriters, I'm in a club of fewer than 50 people like me in the world, which is pretty cool to say. Add that on top of my existing talent stack, and I'm the first in my state here in Ohio. So as you can imagine, I have quite a few Ohio-based, Midwest-based clients. But as I mentioned, the person who, the instructor for that program is one of, if not the most experienced ghostwriters in the world. She's written over 125 books. She has more best-selling titles than anyone else, more books turned into movies than anyone else, more award-winning books than anyone else. She's since retired, and this is the one thing that she does that I'm aware of, is teaching this this program. It was extraordinarily difficult because what you know from her perspective is she's distilling, you know, decades of wisdom and experience and theory into this one program, and trying to make sure that you come through with everything. And so it was a blast. It was very challenging, but it's worth it. And through that experience, I have been able to offer my clients new services, new experiences, and even new insights into the best publishing path for their book.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing all of this information. I'm sure our audience is taking a great deal away from it. Joshua, I'd love to know, as you and your team have these experiences and new clients, do you share amongst yourself, and how do you do group learning in terms of how to improve your art?
The closest person on my team, I would have to say, is actually my business partner, who is also my life partner, my wife, Judy Shaw. She is the vice president of the company. She joined going on about 16 months ago, actually. She'd done some informal proofreading for me here and there, some copy editing. She has a background, actually, in New York City professional theater. A lot of work managing tight deadline projects from stage, you know, stage management was one of the things that she did. Also, professional acting experience herself on the stage there in New York City, working on scripts, making these one-dimensional characters on the page come alive in three dimensions and enthralling an audience. And so that's a unique set of skills she brings to writing and to publishing, which you don't usually see. So what she's able to do is go through a manuscript, go through a chapter, and feel the pulse of the audience, so to speak, and make sure that every chapter ends just the right way so that the reader, the audience in her mind, is kind of on the edge of their seats a little bit and just wants to know, okay, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? There's a little pause there and pulls them in to keep going. And that's just one example of what she's able to do. So when it comes to what we've done together, some specific trainings that we've taken are around project management, so that we can take on more clients and execute the projects just as exactly as we promised we're able to. The fantastic software that we use is called ClickUp. It's kind of like Asana plus Trello. So Asana is probably one of the more popular North American, at least here in North America, project management softwares. Trello is kind of like a board where you say, okay, here's all the tasks that we want to get done. We'll just check off each of these. ClickUp combines both of those. And so it's almost like, Rick, we have ourselves a full-time project manager, but it's just this software.
Wonderful.
Project management for us, so we can really focus on getting done what needs to get done for our vast number of clients.
Do you find that it takes a great deal of time? What is the, I guess, the duration from initial contact with a client to handover of the final product? How long does it typically take?
Yeah. You know, there's quite a few fly-by-night experts in the publishing industry who promise things like, finish your book in 30 days, you know, bestseller list in a weekend, finish your book in 7 days, that sort of a thing. But for just the promotion phase, every experienced PR person I've hired that I've worked with has said, you need at least 2 to 3 months of promotion before your book comes out. So if you're on the bandwagon of 30 days to you know, finish the book, well, you're like, what's that? You know, 1 to 2 months short of what you should be doing just to make sure the book is a success. My clients have found that as we get into the writing process, we don't want to just get it done, just get it over with. You know, good is better than great. You know, crappy is better than perfect, as long as it's done. So the process, depending on what the client's budget is, we can kind of stretch it out or kind of bring it in, depending on what their cash flow looks like. But we found that we've been able to do 5-month timelines, 10-month timelines, and then 15-month timelines for your clients who are like, I want to get this done, but it doesn't necessarily have to be like anytime soon. I want to make consistent progress towards this goal. So if we're on like the 5-month timeline, we'll just take a look at that one. You know, it takes us about 4 months to get that book done. And then along with that, we're, you know, having a couple of months of pre-publication promotion work in there as well. With the 10-month plan, and we, you know, we're pretty much done with the manuscript around month 7 or 8. And then that last 2 to 3 months is all about promotion leading up to the launch of the book itself.
Is it very clear to them the wide range of benefits that they may experience because of writing this book? And how, and what do you talk to them about? Do you mention motives and what they're trying to do with it?
Oh, yes. We always want to find out what their specific objectives are. What results would they point to and say, if we can get this, this is a success. And most of the time, I found that the first thing an author will say when I ask them, you know, why is now the time to write this book? They, 9 times out of 10, they say, because everyone's telling me I need to write this book. Everyone being defined as their clients, their vendors, their customers, their partners, their friends, their family, because they are so smart about what they do. They have so much, it's not necessarily have to be, you know, decades of experience, but mm-hmm. they have a unique talent stack or you know, skill set
yep.
that they've been able to create a niche for themselves in their industry. And they're finding that there's a lot of clients that are coming to them, and they want to be able to serve more people. And they find that having a book is a fantastic short-term and long-term lead generation strategy, because our approach to writing books is that buying a book is only the first sale you're going to make to that person. So what we want to do is we want to design the flow of the book so that book readers become booked clients. They say, this stuff is so good, I have to get more from the author. I want them to actually help me with this process. We had a client a few years ago, she was averaging about 10,000 copies sold per month, just extraordinary numbers from her. What we were finding is that people were stopping the book about halfway through. They were never picking it up again because they were joining one of her flagship online programs, one of her high ticket programs, dropping a few grand, $1,000 to actually get more and actually get that one-on-one experience with her. So that it almost worked too well. He wouldn't even say, okay, you've sold me. I'm persuaded. I'm going to buy your program.
What a problem to have.
Yes, a good problem. The best problem.
Because I see here, you know, we've talked a little bit about the, you know, the spin-off books and the opening up of opportunities for her to sell her high-end coaching programs and the likes. What are some of the other benefits from having a book?
Sure. So I'm sure quite a few of your listeners are going to be familiar with the author of Guerrilla Marketing, whose name is J. Conrad Levinson, kind mm-hmm. of a pioneer marketing expert for the small business. And his perspective on writing a book goes like this. Someone once asked him, Jay, how much should you make from your first book, Guerrilla Marketing? And he would always say, $10 million. $35,000 came from the royalties of the book, but the remaining 9.9 and some change million dollars came as a result of the spin-off books, the consulting gigs, the coaching, the programs, the free media attention, all of that comes with that process. So we like to have our clients adopt the mindset that a book is a key that can really open any door of revenue that you want it to open for you. And every client, this looks a little bit different. Some of our clients want to use their book to drive leads and to get them to make their first purchase, which is for the book, mm-hmm. you know, $5 for the Kindle, $20 for the paperback, whatever. So now you have yourself a paying customer. You've got their payment information. So what you can do is you can, boom, have an upsell right away. You can have put them in your launch funnel or your nurture email sequence, present them with another offer. And we know that someone who's bought from you before is somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000% more likely to buy again than someone who's never bought from you before.
Mm.
So a book in that way can be a strategic customer creation tool. And the point's not to make a whole lot of money from it, is to create a kind of a tribe of customers, a list of buyers. And because they've already given you some money, just send them the next offer, that next upsell. And in many cases, you want it to be how to implement everything that's in the book as part of a cohort. having group support. It's being a coaching experience. There's videos and there's checklists and there's modules and trainings and, you know, the complete experience to execute everything. Because we found that with books, information is great, but it's not enough. And so we were able to take advantage of that fact and to present readers everything that they need to know to succeed. But what the one thing we cannot give them is that personalized support. You know, that includes accountability, that includes personalized feedback to them. And so people will join our clients' programs just so that they can get that, even though they already know all the information because it was in the book. They're willing to pay, you know, a few hundred or a few thousand a month for an online, an online program just to have those specific things. So that's how we can help create a lot of revenue from the book. And we have a fun free tool on the Entrepreneurs Wordsmith website, a book revenue calculator that can actually show you and give you a conservative estimate what your book can produce for you in terms of revenue from the book itself, just like with Jay, you know, the royalties, as well as the doors that your book can open for you.
There's some wonderful opportunities in books. You know, a lot of people might say that, hey, look, books are old school. Are you suggesting that people could maybe use audiobooks in this as well? What's the format of your books typically? Are they hard case or how does it work?
Yes, depending on a client's goals, we actually offer the triple experience, the paperback, the ebook, and the audiobook. We're doing that with several clients right now, actually producing the audiobook so it can launch right alongside of it, the other versions. Somewhere around 20% of all books sold right now are audiobooks. If you go to the Amazon bestseller list in any business category, you'll find that in the top 10, at least half of them are the audiobook edition. And for business people, that's because we don't have time. You know, we're on the commute, we're at the gym, you know, we're doing some household chores maybe, doing some busy work at the office, and we need something to occupy our minds. And so we go to Audible or go to go to YouTube if it's on YouTube or whatever the app you're using is, and we like to listen to podcasts, or in the case of, let's say, Audible, listen to the audiobook version of the book everyone's been telling you you need to read, but you haven't had time to actually sit down and read the book. So audiobooks are a very powerful tool, and you want to make sure you have that format available as well, and we do.
Well, there you go. Everybody who's on the call today, be sure to be taking notes about that. Joshua, when people want to work with you, where are they going to find you?
Yes, they can find us a couple of different places. Entrepreneurswordsmith.com is our home base. That's where you can find the book revenue calculator tool to kind of estimate, see, hey, is now the right time for the book? Are the numbers making sense that there's going to be ROI here? Another place, we have quite a few free trainings for aspiring authors, regardless of what stage you're in, whether you just have an idea for a book or you've got a final draft and you're ready to launch it. I always say, don't launch your book until you've watched a few of our training videos, because we offer some pretty solid wisdom around what to do so that you have the best chance of reaching the bestseller list and getting lots of those 5-star reviews from your readers. That's our YouTube channel. Just search for my name on YouTube, Joshua Lysak, and you will find it.
Fantastic. So for everybody who's on the call today, as is often the case, I will make sure that the links back to Joshua and his wonderful organization are available below this post. Joshua, it's been my treat having you on the My Future Business Show today.
And it's been my treat today to show up here with you, Rick. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.